Now, about 7,000 Wisconsinites are living with HIV. That's according to the most recent statewide data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
A Milwaukee-based healthcare provider, Vivint Health, provides clinical care for more than 18,000 people in six states who are either living with HIV or who are vulnerable to sexually transmitted infections.
The organization's president and CEO, Brandon Hill, is the newly elected president of the International Academy of Sex Research, which was founded in the 1970s. Hill will hold both leadership roles, helping to advance research and prevention of HIV. Brandon, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you very much for having me. Excited to be here.
What is this academy and the research that is coming out of it?
Sure. So the International Academy of Sex Research, also known as IASR, is a longstanding, primarily academic research academy, bringing researchers together from all over the world to address the pressing sexual health and sexual research needs of the broader community. It is an academic environment in which folks are sharing their research. We're learning from each other in different countries and different global contexts, and ultimately trying to improve the work here in the U.S. all the way to Wisconsin. And beyond.
I wonder, how might your role leading Vivint Health inform your work, you know, leading this global research body and what it pursues?
Yes, it's it is rare to have both a healthcare executive and practitioner and researcher leading the organization. I was excited for the opportunity to move learnings from all over, you know, the globe into action and see how they can help us here at home. We know there's a lot particularly related to HIV that we've learned in the global context. And it's great to have that knowledge exchange and see how we help end the HIV epidemic here in the U.S. And through the work that Vivint Health does every day is really the methodology that's going to end the HIV epidemic here domestically.
How does sex research contrast outside of our borders with researchers who are not in the U.S.?
The Academy is made up of folks from all over the world.
Uh-huh.
And I would say mostly we partner with individuals in Europe and in North America, Canada, and Mexico. And everyone is addressing sexual health and HIV and STI in very different ways, very different systems, different cultures. When we're all together, we kind of can see where we can borrow and learn from one another and actually improve the work that we're doing back home. So the meaning that we have, that's really one of the purposes for that. We also learn on how to work in different environments. You know, the U.S. is not the first to have a challenging research funding environment or a challenging administration that may not support the research. And now's a real time for us to learn from some of our international colleagues on how they've responded and have continued their research even in those uncertain environments.
I want to zoom in on one of the biggest advancements in HIV prevention, and that was the development and distribution of PrEP, the pre-exposure prophylaxis, and the medication being approved by the FDA over a decade ago. How effective is it at preventing HIV?
Oh, PrEP, and now we have different modes of PrEP, but mm-hmm. overall, PrEP for HIV prevention is over 90% effective, you know, when adherent and when it follows the treatment regimen, you know, almost to 99%. This is one of the most remarkable advancements that we've had for a while. And bearing in mind for most, I'd say since the 1940s, condoms were our only, our primary mode of biomedical prevention. So this is a leap year forward for us.
And at the same time, though, there are studies that say, look, even though there is widespread adoption of PrEP, it still lags behind in some communities that really need it. Other population groups with higher rates of HIV, including sex workers, transgender individuals, and prisoners. And these groups may face significant stigma and discrimination. Do you see a stigma affecting who has access to PrEP and HIV care?
There definitely is a differential in who has awareness and access. But even before we can look at whether someone is adopting or using the medication, we want to know whether they're aware that even is even an option for them. And historically, there has been differentials by race, by sexual orientation, by economic status on who has awareness to new health technologies. And that was no different for PrEP. So we have seen it's been slower to be adopted among trans or gay or bisexual men of color. That is a group that we do see new infections and, you know, not decreasing new HIV cases among that population. And so there's a lot more effort to really engage. Nationally, we need, you know, I think it's almost 1 million people who would be indicated for PrEP to take up PrEP in order for us to successfully reduce all new cases or new diagnoses in the U.S. So there's a huge gap here. And you, the folks you mentioned is exactly the population that are in that gap.
A lot more work to do. We're talking with Brandon Hill, president and CEO of Milwaukee-based Vibrant Health and newly elected president of the International Academy of Sex Research. Let's look at funding issues. You know, funding for HIV research and prevention programming has faced massive cuts on a federal level. Earlier this year, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services considered dismantling the CDC's HIV prevention division. What are you seeing out there? What CDC programming has Vibrant Health utilized in the past? How are you affected by these moves at the federal level?
At the onset of the year, we, like many recipients, the federal government was sending no reimbursement from February to, I'd say, about June for the grants that were held, and no new award letters. Everyone who was out in the space providing prevention services were in limbo. Across the country, some organizations had to decide whether they would continue their programs, halt their programs, freeze their programs. And to be honest, we received very limited guidance because there was no guidance associated with the halting of reimbursing or renewing grants. That alone has had an impact on what services were available during that time period. Now at Vibrant Health, we were able to continue providing services. We treated our prevention services as key to the work that we do. It's not just about treatment and care. Preventing HIV is also our responsibility in our communities. And we were able to keep the work moving forward, though not at maximum, so minimally moving forward, or minimal capacity. I know other organizations were not, and it's yet to be seen what impact that could have. Another indirect consequence, it was very disruptive to the workforce of folks who do prevention. You know, people were having to decide whether this was the space that they could continue to work in with so much uncertainty on whether or not they would have funding for their role.
Bring us up to speed to the now. What is the situation now with federal funds, and what are you projecting?
We're really in an unknown space. There's a lot that has that lives in the future in 2027. So if you look at H.R. 1, also known as the Big Beautiful Bill, a lot of those, the things that people were concerned about, don't take immediate effect. A lot of this is to be enacted in 2027. So between now and 2027, the how will be figured out. There were clear decisions on cuts that would be made or through that bill requirements that would be imposed on individuals like Medicaid recipients, whether or not we would have some institutes like Minority Health Institute or others. That's all coming in the future. And now we have to understand how we will deliver the grants that we currently have or the objectives of the grants within the confines of the restrictions in the bill, or the budget cuts that have been proposed. You know, the huge shifts will have to be made And ultimately, the reality that's yet to be seen is people will not be able to get the level of care or the level of HIV prevention services that they're currently receiving. The one that's currently keeping us at less than 300 new diagnoses in Wisconsin.
I want to land here on the Academy, and I'm wondering if, because of its global reach and its global role, there are researchers who are looking at what's happening in the U.S., and I'm wondering what those conversations are like when, as you mentioned at the outset, you know, some researchers in parts of the world have seen what's happening in the U.S., shutting down, for instance, major HIV health programs. What is collaboration like right now when there are urgent needs and there are big, big changes happening in a first world country like the U.S.?
A lot of the researchers and a lot of the public are used to seeing large, big national data sets, data that comes from thousands and thousands of individuals. And at our last meeting, we really had to have a discussion on whether, you know, if there isn't the same level of funding that's available, if there isn't the same level of access to patient populations or community-based populations, how do we leverage working with the data that we all have? Many of the researchers, you know, have collected data in different geographies, and we don't often always think of, you know, combining that data or making sure that we can maximize its use. You know, while not ideal, it doesn't won't produce a nationally representative sample. We just really are starting to think about doing things differently, and so we'll have to really work with what's available and what we have.
Brandon, thank you for joining us.
Sure, my pleasure.
That is Brandon Hill, president and CEO of Milwaukee-based Vivant Health, who is also the newly elected president of the International Academy of Sex Research.